Jim, what's your musical background?
Well, I'm a graduate of the Humber College jazz program, which was fantastic. That was in the 70s. And then I studied at the conservatory with a guy named Sam Dolan, who, you know, I did counterpoint and orchestration, that kind of thing. And I've studied conducting with Victor Felbrill and another fellow by the name of Dr. Roman Toy. And then just lots of studying on my own, actually, going haunting the Metro Reference Library for scores and the like.
So what first inspired you to write film and television music?
Well, actually, as far back as when I was in high school, I remember doing a project on music in the movies, and interestingly enough, it was, you know, Kubrick's 2001, right? I think a lot of people really noticed that music, and interestingly enough, it wasn't film score music, right? It was classical music. But I think that between that and also whenever I heard classical music, like something like Berlioz's Symphony Fantastique, it always sounded like Bugs Bunny music to me, which I loved. Yeah. I mean, Bugs Bunny was, you know, a pivotal influence on my life. So that's how I got interested in it. And being a trumpet player, that's my instrument, I was always doing horn arrangements and stuff for records and the like. And film music seemed to me a much more realistic goal than songwriting, because songwriting is like buying a lottery ticket. You know, hopefully you get a hit, and if you don't, that's that. But film music, you can actually be a craftsman and just sort of work away at it and get to go home at night. You don't have to go on the road or anything. So no, I love it.
Okay. So what's the first thing you do when you begin to write a score?
Sometimes they give you a script. Personally, I mean, I find that the drag about reading a script is that you never get that first audience member view of the film, and you know how it ends. You know what all the surprises are, and so I actually of late have kind of avoided reading the script. Sometimes that's all you have. The thing isn't going to shoot, or there's not going to be a cut available for a number of weeks. But what you usually do is you sit down and you watch through a rough cut, and more times than not, they've already temped it with temp music. But sometimes that can be a good thing. Like, for example, Resurrection, which was a movie you and I were talking about before, it was the temp score on that was so great. It was just brilliant. And the editor, Gord McClellan, who actually was my contact with the film, and that's how I got to meet Russell in that, did a masterful job of it. It defined the tone of the film. All my job then was to replicate that approach in an original and cohesive fashion. I mean, obviously, when you put a temp score together from a whole bunch of different sources, different films, it doesn't really hang together very well. But, you know, they used really great music, and it just made my job so much easier, you know.
So since Resurrection had such a wonderful temp score,
yeah,
is it hard as a composer to sort of get past that and put your own signature on it?
Well, you know what? It is when the temp score is something like The Mission by Ennio Morricone or something that is really well recognized and has a whole bunch of, there's a large amount of equity in it, and that people, you know, like the theme from Jaws or something. I mean, there's no way you're going to write something that people are going to respond to better than these, you know, huge scores that everyone loves and has heard a million times. Mercifully, in Resurrection, the stuff that he used was fairly obscure, and when I say generic, I don't really mean that in a negative way. I mean, it wasn't so distinctive that it was impossible to outdo, like, and they weren't so in love with it that anything I did didn't match it. You know, it actually was just a really great experience.
So how do you find the various film and television assignments, or do they come looking for you?
Well, that actually is the million-dollar question. I've always maintained, and I'm sure other people say, that it's not doing the work, it's getting it that's hard. But most of my work comes through, you know, people I've worked with before. For example, Resurrection was from a picture editor that I'd worked with on a series called Fast Track. Treed Murray, which is a feature I just finished, I got through the mixer, the guy who actually mixes the sound and music from Fast Track. another, you know, science fiction film I did was from the post supervisor from Fast Track. So it's interesting. Any one job you do can lead to all these other ones. It just takes a lot longer than I could ever imagine, you know, as far as getting it going.
Okay. So what's your most challenging assignment to date?
You know what? To tell you the truth, Treed Murray and a short film that I did for the same director, the director's name is William Phillips, and the short film was called Deep Cut, and it was actually a sort of a preparatory exercise for Treed Murray, which was a feature. Both of them dealt with urban stories. For example, Treed Murray is about this 30-something ad exec yuppie type guy walking through an urban park, like Central Park, that kind of thing, and he gets accosted by a street gang, like youths, and they chase him through the park, and he climbs up a tree, and the entire film takes place with him in the tree and them on the ground, okay? And Deep Cut was a similar sort of scenario, only it was in an underground parking lot. So the trouble with, or the difficulty with both those films was that there was no tradition to rely on. Oh yeah, do it like that other movie where the guy's in the tree. You know, I mean, it actually had, I had to invent a kind of an approach. And neither films were temp scored, or certainly not temp scored successfully. Like, there was no kind of genre thing to go on. So I actually spent a huge amount of time on both those films, rewrote a great deal of material, and ultimately, you know, I'm really happy with it, but it was hard.